In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen. As we bask in the glorious light of the resurrection for 40 days, and all the time as Orthodox Christians, I notice one thing right about now for most Orthodox Christians. A lull. They're down. I heard a number of confessions this morning as well, and almost the same state for every person. Yeah, I know Christ is risen, but I'm a mess. What's going on? I'm slipping back into my same sins. I'm not loving. I'm so selfish. They're carbon copies of each other with different circumstances. But what's happening? I thought Christ was risen. And what that is it's a deadening of our souls. Dare I even say it's a paralysis. It's a paralysis. And the Lord, this is His church, not a man-made institution. The church as the body of Christ. We say the church, it means Christ. The church knows our weakness. Christ knows our weakness in this flesh and knows that we have a very hard time bearing the resurrection. A very hard time making this joy real. So it gives us these, like a beautiful prescription for healing, gives us these themes every Sunday. We had the resurrection of our Lord. We have St. Thomas Sunday to heal our doubt. We have the holy myrrh-bearing women and St. Joseph Arimathea, their amazing faith and boldness. And we're given today, just when we need it, this powerful, powerful reminder of the healing of this man who was paralyzed. There are two real messages in this gospel, two main points. That there's an inner paralysis of each of us personally. And it's that inner paralysis which makes all of society, this broken, fallen world, totally paralyzed and disgusting and horrible and war-filled and torn and disgusting. So there's the inner paralysis which leads to the outer, the fathers talk about. First, the inner. The Lord comes to this man who's been laying there for 38 years. And He asks, do you want to be healed? And you might go, duh, of course. What a stupid question. He's laying there forever. What do you think he wants? Nachos? What do you think he wants? But you know what? It's not true. And you wouldn't answer much different. I might come in this church and say, well, I wonder if they want to be healed. Well, of course they want to be healed. They're here. I mean, they're baptized. I mean, they're here. Of course they do. Stop it. Not true. It's not true. Because many of us like our paralysis. We like our sinfulness. Our analogy is maybe we're not physically paralyzed, but we're spiritually paralyzed. And you know what? We like going through the motions. We like laying on our bed. We like having a reason to complain. Ah, there's no one to put me in the pool. Oh, woe is me. We like that more than actually being changed. We like that. We like having self-pity. We kind of like we love our sinfulness and the precious and our own stuff more than we want God and more than we want virtue. So it seems like a dumb question on the face of it from the Lord, but it's not at all. And it's a question we each have to ask ourselves. Do you want to be healed? And don't BS it. It's not true. Well, of course I do, Father. Come on, I'm here. No. Do you really want to be healed? Because it's not all fun and games. Look what happened. The man said, I have no one. I have no one to help me. And so, what did the Lord? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. He didn't say walk away. He said, take up your bed. There was still work to do. He had to carry that bed. And by the way, like any person who's healed, who any person who's been laying for a long time, who's healed, I've seen it as a priest, a doctor can tell you, their muscles are atrophied and they still stumble. So it wasn't like he popped up and everything was perfect. He had a new life. But there was still work in carrying his pallet. There was still persecution to face by the people who were not happy about his healing on the Sabbath, the total Pharisees. And then there was still the stumbling and the falling of getting up. And this is an icon of our hearts. The Lord comes to us, maybe we're as children or as adults, or you're in the Orthodox Church for the first time right now. You stumbled in here somehow today. And you say, what does this mean to me? Christ can heal every paralysis of our hearts. Our lust, our pride, our anger, our depression, our sadness, our lack of knowing what our life is all about. All those things. Our addictions, our passions, all those things. He can heal that. But it's not like it's all fine and dandy and it's all roses after that. No. And it wasn't for this paralyzed man either. There was still work to be done, persecution to endure, stumbling, but to keep going. If you want to keep the resurrection of Christ real, it's worthless that Christ is risen if He's not risen in you. If Christ has released this very paralysis, and you remain paralyzed because you choose because you love it more, that's the saddest, most pathetic thing in the world. But you are free to do that because God made you free in His image and likeness. When a soul does, you become a saint. When a soul says, I want to be different, I want to... So what do we do? What am I telling you today? Restart. So personally, reboot. The joy you had in Lent came from some discipline. Discipline for the Lord. If you're disciplined at work for something small, not for the Lord, not for eternity, not for each other. So return to your love of prayer first. Prayer is the place where paralysis is healed most when you're with Him. If you don't pray, you're going to be a paralyzed mess. If you do, the limbs start to move our hearts again. So return to your first love. You want that Paschal joy? Get back into prayer. Keep the Wednesday and Friday fast. It's fish, wine, and oil. It's so easy. We need that fasting. Now, we're given a week off from fasting for the first week, and our prayers are shorter, but we go right into lazy, carnal, I don't know why I'm suffering. Well, you're eating way too much. You're being a glutton. You're not praying, and you're just full of yourself. We've lost it. We should have more discipline, more joy. So let us return to that with each other, because if we do, the inner life, the inner man is renewed, and it's the most spectacular thing in the world when Christ comes and heals a paralyzed soul. It's the most breathtaking thing. And why do I start with that? Because that's the beginning. But the next problem is bigger. Because the resurrected life in Jesus Christ is not just about our own personal, selfish healing. It's not for that reason. It's something much deeper. The manifestation of the love of Christ through each other, it has nothing to do with being selfish. So our inner sanctification is a prerequisite to do the real work, which is the harder work, which is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and your mind, and to love and die for other people. That's a true sign of the resurrection. What do I mean? So, the paralytic is laying there, and the word in Greek is paralytikos. And it means more than just physically lame. It means the whole being is stunted and distorted. That's important. And it's very powerful. And today I borrow heavily from a very holy bishop, Bishop Athanasios of blessed memory, one of the greatest missionary bishops ever lived. He died last year. He renewed Africa. He was a native African, renewed the entire church, a saint. If you get to meet him one time. He was a priest and a bishop, and he died of a terrible illness, an infection, last year here in the States. And his flock misses him, but he's living in the resurrection of Christ. And I read what he wrote about this, and I was in tears. And he's the one who inspired me about this. He says, it says in Greek, he says, do you want to be healed? He says, well, I have no man to put me in the pool. And in Greek, it's not no one. He's not saying, I have nobody, there's no one around. There's a different word for that. He says, I have no human being. And in fact, it actually means there's no humanity. There's no human being to put me into the pool. How sad. How pathetic. He wasn't alone, but he was alone. There was people around, but they ceased to be human beings. They were just dead humans. Selfish. Self-focused. How many years was he there? 38 years. And not once, think about that. Everyone was all about me, my healing. Once in a while, an angel of the Lord would come and trouble the water. And the first person that got in was healed. And you notice, no one stuck around after the healing and said, you know what, I've been healed, now it's your turn. I'm going to sit around, wait, and I'm going to put you in next. Nobody. And by the way, we live like that. And that's why both parts of this are important. You can become a selfish Orthodox Christian. Oh, I'm being healed. It's so amazing. My spiritual life, I'm just blossoming in humility. It's amazing. And you're a jerk to other people. Worthless. You've missed the point. That inner sanctification, us realizing what jerks we are, how lazy we are, how judgmental we are, how we are no better than anybody else, that heartbrokenness we realize, that's beautiful because then you need Christ. And you pray not because you're spiritual, but because you want Him. And the next step from a heart like that is, how can I love other people and show them that love that Christ has showed me? If it doesn't lead to that, it's pharisaical, it's egotistic, it's demonic piety. Demonic piety. But you can't have the opposite. Oh, I'm not going to really pray and stuff. I'm just going to love other people and stuff. You won't have any tank, any gas in the tank. No, you can't love and sacrifice as a fallen human being. You'll be selfish. You won't do it. Only by the grace of God. There's no man, no human being to take care of me. Father Alexander Schmemann says that the sheep pool, and where are they? They're the five porticos. They're in a place where the sheep they would use for the slaughters, for the sacrifice in the Jewish temple, they were washed there first before they went in for the actual slaughter. And by the grace of God, this became a place of healing. But only the first person that got in was healed. By the way, with the coming of Christ, it's not the first person in the water, it's every person that goes into the water that wants to be healed. There's no more just one. Now every human soul enters those waters of baptism, is renewed and freed from their paralysis. How beautiful is that? It's a foretaste of baptism we see today in the gospel, what happens. No one cares for him. No one. But I think we've all been in that circumstance before too, where I lived in New York when I was a kid. You can be around a million people and be totally alone. Or you can be on a mountaintop alone and feel firmly connected to everybody else. A lot of humans around, not many human beings around. The portico, the pool, symbolizes the world. Symbolizes the modern state of our world. Out for ourselves. Individualism. Me. My. And you know what? We don't even think it's wrong sometimes, do we? Because that's how we're raised. It's like second nature to us to say, even in the church, to say, my life is about getting in that pool for the other person. Being more spiritual to that person. It's scary. Me, me, me. And what does that lead to? There's no surprise why there's wars and shootings and people hanging themselves and shooting themselves and doing terrible things. Why? Because of this exact thing. Maybe a person has never been shown love. We don't have many paralyzed people actually in our actual community, physically, but spiritually we're a mess. The person standing next to you might be the most broken mess ever, and they might leave here and go do terrible things to themselves. Or you can attend to them and put them in the water and they can be released in themselves, they can find their salvation. Do you realize how, you don't realize how critical each and every step and every word you say in this life means. It's so critical. It's life and death for other people. Somebody else will do it. That's what everybody else thought. And this man lived there for 38 years. The Holy Father is saying, you know what the pool is? The church is the pool. The church is the pool. And we should want everybody in there. And sometimes with our religiosity or outward focus, all the external things of orthodoxy, all the beauty of the liturgy, isn't externalism. It expresses the inner life. But if we're not living an inner life of love for God and other people, we can become like Pharisees about this stuff and go through the motions and do things and walk out and just stay in a beggar. Or you don't care about the person standing right next to you. Because it's all about you and your spiritual life and your spiritual pill. If you're actually even caring about that. Most of us are just thinking about lunch later right now. Come on. First loving God, then loving others. He had no man, no human being. Because what is being? Well, we say Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. A real life. A life. There's no real life without God. There's no real life without the lifeblood of Christ flowing through us and sharing that with other people. We may be humans, but even the animals are better than us. But they're nicer. They're better. You want to wonder why people are despicable and horrible and rape and pillage and murder? It's because they're still humans without God, who haven't tasted love, who are not conduits of love to other people. And it's the most horrific way to live, brothers and sisters. You have been blessed to enter this pool. Not the first, the second, every single one of us. And we're being healed. We're being healed and we're stumbling. Right now, we're stumbling with our paralytic bed and we're getting up with the help of our spiritual father, with the help of each other. And our whole life goal should be a constant renewing of our own spiritual life for one purpose. Not so we can bask in our own personal sanctity. So that we can help this broken world. Do you know why you're depressed? Because all you do is think about yourself. That's all you do is think about yourself. Think about it. Me, me, me. And that's why people are miserable. Do you know why Saints Peter and Paul gave their lives? Do you know why Saint Peter today, listen to the epistle Andrew read today, unbelievable, this wimp, this coward, this sellout who betrayed Jesus after the resurrection, he walks on the street and he heals a paralytic. He's a sinner and God so filled him. And then he goes and a woman dies, Tabitha, and he raises her from the dead. this sinful idiot. That's what they thought about him. He's uneducated. Christ so filled him that he was able to work great miracles. And I'm not saying we should be act like we're great miracle workers or fashion ourselves as such. No. But the point is, when you make your whole life about loving Christ, loving the church, loving paradise, loving the saints, and your way to get there is loving each other and caring about the person next to you, then you become a resurrected person. That's why these saints on the walls gave them, that's why millions of Christians gave their lives, their blood, their homes, their jobs, their children to slaughter. Because their hearts were overtaken by a total love of other people and love for God. I'm so sad to see us selfish sometimes. I'm so sad to see us see you depressed. Every single one of you, the root of it is I'm just so worried about. Stop thinking about yourself. Live for Christ. Live for other people. And by the way, we say, okay, I'll do a little bit. I'll do a little bit for my family. And you do it because it serves you. You don't do it because you care about them. You do it because it serves you and it's selfish. Or I'll do it for my tribe. Or I'll do it for my race. Or I'll do it for my country. No, that even serves us sometimes. You do it for the love of God. And for every human soul. You know what? God died for every human soul. Not just Christians, but every human soul. He loves them so dearly, and the means by which He wants to show His love is you. Most of us came into the Orthodox Christian life because a person loved us into it. A priest loved us into it. A friend, a co-worker, someone loved us into it. Brothers and sisters, our goal is to shout at the rooftops, not with our lips all the time, with our lives, that paralysis and death is not real life. What the world calls real life is just human death. But Christ in His resurrection bestowing life. Life and full. And the most glorious life there is. And it's so glorious, you can't help but share it with other people. And you find true joy in giving your life for your brother or sister. And giving your life for someone who's homeless and dirty. And giving your life for that person next to you you don't like. And the person you don't even know. The saints realize the true secret of the spiritual life, which is, exhaust yourself for God. Exhaust yourself for other people. Stop being so focused on yourself. And when that happens, with our little prayers, we do our little fasting, our reaching out to each other. A lot of paralysis here, brothers and sisters. There are folks who are broken and miserable. And if you just put your arm around them in this parish, if you said, hey, come have coffee with me, join us downstairs, come to dinner with us, be my friend. Christ says, I call you friends. I spent time with some dear friends last night, and it was so beautiful, and I realized, it's my whole life. I have so many friends. I have so many people that we can sit and rejoice with, and you know how many people have nobody. They have no one, no human being. No, they walk by people, they go to 7-Eleven, they go to stores. They don't have a single human soul in this life who loves them and understands them. That's why you were made. That's why you were put on this earth, to know Christ. And in knowing Him, you become to open your hearts and you become one with your brother. The existential philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre, he said, hell is the other person. We don't live like that. We live like St. Silouan, who said, my brother is my life. I beg all of us, and I'm talking to myself, I want to be joyful. I don't want to be depressed. I want the resurrection of Christ to be everything. I don't want to be afraid to die. Bring it on. I want to live that way. How? By starting to die now. Dying to my laziness. Dying to my selfishness. And giving my life to each of you. Whether I like you or not, or know you or not, giving my whole. And you know what? That is the ticket to the most fulfilled life ever. And when you're fulfilled, you can't be depressed. Because when you love another person, Christ's love comes and abides in you. So look at your life honestly, each of you. Realize how selfish you are. I'm talking to myself above all. You always know that, please. How selfish we are. And of course, that's why we're depressed. And make a promise to God, a promise to your baptism. Someone put you in that pool. And your whole life should be spent sacrificing you who are being healed. Not to run off and leave other people, but to hasten to lower each human being you meet into the pool of Christ's church to everlasting life. And even in this life, you will taste the greatest joy. Your depression will go away. And Christ, who is risen, will be risen in each of us. Brothers and sisters, let us give it with all our heart, soul, mind, everything, that the resurrection of Christ may not be for naught. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.